Before You Withdraw, a structured guide to emotional discipline and replacing silent interpretation with grounded trust. Narrated for mashup frequency. Introduction: The silent interpretation problem. Most relational distance does not begin with a singular, dramatic conflict. It begins quietly, almost imperceptibly, with the subtle act of interpretation. Something small occurs, a shift in tone, a delayed message, a moment of dropped eye contact, a response that feels shorter than usual. The event itself is often minor, a fleeting moment in the vast landscape of a relationship. But the meaning attached to that event, that can become monumental. Here is the cycle. An event happens. An interpretation is formed. That interpretation connects to a core belief. The core belief triggers withdrawal. And withdrawal creates distance. No clarification is sought. No verification happens. The mind, in its attempt to resolve the uncertainty alone, rarely does so with neutrality. It defaults to its archives, resolving the ambiguity using memory as its guide. And if those memories are cataloged with experiences of rejection, the mind becomes exceptionally skilled at detecting rejection, even when it is not present. This guide is designed to interrupt that cycle. It is a practical toolkit for dismantling the habit of silent interpretation and replacing it with the discipline of grounded trust. The promise of this guide is not the elimination of all relational friction. It is the development of a resilient, steady heart, one that can navigate the natural uncertainties of human connection without resorting to withdrawal. The foundational principle that frames everything in this guide comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 5. Taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. This is not a call to emotional suppression. It is a call to emotional discipline, the courageous practice of examining our thoughts before trusting them, and choosing clarity over the comfortable but destructive habit of silent withdrawal. Part 1. The Anatomy of Withdrawal. Understanding the cycle that quietly erodes connection, one unverified assumption at a time. Chapter 1. The Tone Shift Error. Human beings are exquisitely sensitive to tone. It is a primal and efficient channel of communication, conveying emotional information faster than words. However, for all its speed, tone is an unreliable narrator. Fatigue, stress, distraction, and even the ambient noise of an environment can drastically alter a person's tone of voice. Despite this, a shift in tone is frequently interpreted as a direct and personal message. The conclusion, "Their tone changed, so something must be wrong between us," feels natural, almost instinctual. This is the work of cognitive shortcuts, mental heuristics that the brain uses to navigate the world with speed and efficiency. While these shortcuts are invaluable for survival, they can be incredibly destructive in the delicate ecosystem of a relationship. A small, unintentional tone shift becomes irrefutable evidence for a much larger, often negative, story. When information is incomplete, the brain fills the gaps. A brief, distracted reply could mean they are tired, thinking about work, dealing with stress, or simply preoccupied. Yet the mind often settles on a single, self-referential explanation. "They are losing interest in me." This conclusion is rarely verified. It is simply accepted, and behavior begins to change accordingly. The first discipline of this guide is this: before you assign meaning to a tone shift, pause. Ask yourself, what else could this mean? What are five alternative explanations that have nothing to do with me? That single question can dismantle a story that would otherwise have taken days to undo. Chapter 2. Fact versus interpretation. Confusing what happened with what we believe happened is the root of profound emotional instability. Facts are the raw, observable data of a situation. Interpretations are the stories we tell ourselves about that data. The statement, "They ignored me," appears factual, but it is laden with interpretation. It assigns motive, a malicious and intentional act of dismissal. A more factual version would be, "I sent a message at 3 in the afternoon and had not received a response by 6. That statement is neutral. It is verifiable. It does not assume motive. When we react to assumed motives, the other person often feels unfairly accused. That accusation leads to defensiveness, and that defensiveness, in turn, can appear to confirm our original negative interpretation, locking us into a self-fulfilling prophecy of conflict. Consider these examples. Their reply was one word. That is a fact. They are angry with me. That is an interpretation. They did not ask about my day. Fact. They do not care about me. Interpretation. The conversation ended quickly. Fact. I said something wrong. Interpretation. The discipline here is to speak only in facts, to yourself first and then to others. When you remove the interpretation, you remove the accusation. And when you remove the accusation, you open the door to genuine understanding. Chapter 3. Unearthing core beliefs. Our interpretations do not arise from a vacuum. They are deeply connected to a set of core beliefs we hold about ourselves, others, and the world. Beliefs such as, I do not matter. I am unlovable. I will be abandoned. I am not good enough. These beliefs rarely form in adulthood. They are typically forged in the crucible of our earliest experiences, shaped by moments of dismissal, neglect, or comparison. Once a core belief is formed, the mind becomes a confirmation-seeking machine. It is no longer interested in objective truth. It is on a mission to validate its existing worldview. A tone shift becomes proof of rejection. A delayed reply confirms our insignificance. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this: Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guarding our hearts means courageously examining the beliefs that shape our perception and dismantling those that are no longer serving us. The question to ask yourself is this: What is the belief beneath my interpretation? Not just what do I think happened, but what does this event confirm that I already believed about myself? That is where the real work begins. Part 2. The high cost of hypervigilance. When the mind's protective scanning system becomes the very source of the pain it was designed to prevent. Chapter 4. The origins of monitoring. Monitoring begins with a noble intention: to protect ourselves from harm. When our sense of relational stability feels fragile, the mind initiates a program of hypervigilance, scanning for any potential threats to our connection. This monitoring system can be likened to a smoke detector that is calibrated to be overly sensitive, designed to keep us safe, but creating a constant state of alarm. The origins of this monitoring habit are almost always found in the past: a relationship where trust was broken, a period where we felt invisible or unimportant, a pattern of inconsistency that taught us to stay alert. The monitoring made sense then. It was a survival response. But survival responses do not always translate well into the present. Chapter 5. When protection becomes a prison. A behavior that once felt protective can quickly become an exhausting and isolating prison. The longer an individual scans for signals, the more likely they are to misinterpret them. The mind, fatigued from the constant monitoring, begins to see threats where none exist, producing a series of frequent false alarms that erode our sense of safety and connection. And here is the painful irony: the very behavior designed to protect the relationship, the constant watching, the careful analysis, the vigilant scanning, is often the behavior that damages it most. Because people can feel when they are being watched. They can sense the tension, and that tension creates the very distance we were trying to prevent. Chapter 6. The cost of constant scanning. The act of constant monitoring consumes an immense amount of mental and emotional energy. Instead of being present and engaged in our relationships, we become analysts, perpetually evaluating signals, assessing our relational standing. This analytical distance prevents genuine connection and intimacy. Here is a truth worth sitting with. The mind cannot simultaneously analyze a relationship and be present within it. Presence requires trust, and trust requires the willingness to release the need for constant certainty. Not naively, but deliberately, with the understanding that some uncertainty is the price of genuine connection. Part 3. The 3-minute reset. a practical 5-step toolkit for interrupting the cycle of withdrawal and choosing a grounded response. When you feel the familiar pull of a negative emotional reaction, the urge to go quiet, to pull back, to withdraw, this simple 5-step process can help you interrupt the cycle and choose a more constructive path. The goal is not to suppress what you feel. It is to create enough space between the trigger and your response to act with intention rather than reaction. Step 1. Pause. Before you react, pause. Take a deep, slow breath. This simple act can help to calm your nervous system and create a crucial space between the emotional trigger and your response. Step 2. Identify the facts. Ask yourself, what actually happened? Describe the event in neutral, observable terms only. Strip away all assumptions and interpretations. Step 3. Identify your interpretation. Clearly articulate the meaning you are assigning. Say it plainly. The story I am telling myself is. Step 4. Check for old templates. Ask, does this interpretation connect to an old, familiar belief? The interpretation may reflect your history more than the present reality. Step 5. Choose your response. With clarity, choose your response with intention. Options include asking for clarification, choosing patience, or simply waiting before responding. Pause. Facts. Interpretation. Old template. Choose. That is the reset. 3 minutes. 5 steps. And a completely different outcome. Use the worksheet in your workbook to practice this reset after any interaction that triggered a strong emotional response. The more you practice it, the more natural it becomes. Until one day, the pause is your first instinct, not the last resort. Part 4. The Art of Asking. Replacing the habit of withdrawal with the courageous act of seeking clarity and connection. Chapter 7. The Power of Clean Clarification. Clean clarification is the art of requesting information without accusation. Instead of leading with a statement like, "Why are you ignoring me?" which invites defensiveness, a softer, more vulnerable approach invites clarity and connection. Consider the difference. "Why are you ignoring me?" is an accusation dressed as a question. It assigns motive before the conversation has even begun. "But I may be misunderstanding something. Could you help me clarify what happened earlier?" That opens a door rather than closing one. The language of clean clarification is tentative. It acknowledges the possibility of misunderstanding. It does not demand. It invites. And in doing so, it creates the conditions for genuine dialogue rather than defensive conflict. Chapter 8. Seeking reassurance without shame. The need for reassurance is a fundamental human need. The problem is not the need itself. It is the indirect and often destructive ways we go about trying to meet it. Withdrawing, testing, or becoming distant are all indirect attempts to solicit reassurance. They are ways of saying, "Notice that something is wrong. Come and find me. Prove that you care." But indirect requests are confusing. They place the burden of interpretation on the other person, and they rarely produce the reassurance we are actually looking for. Direct requests reduce confusion and build trust. Saying, "I have been feeling a little uncertain about where we stand. Can we talk?" That is vulnerable. It is uncomfortable, but it is also honest. And honesty, delivered with care, is the foundation of genuine intimacy. Chapter 9. Building Calibrated Trust. Trust is not a blind leap. It is a gradual process built on repeated evidence of consistency and care. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head." Speaking the truth in love, with both clarity and kindness. This is the foundation of calibrated trust. Not the naive assumption that everything is fine. Not the cynical assumption that everything is a threat. But the measured, evidence-based practice of building trust one honest interaction at a time. The trust evidence log in your workbook is a powerful tool for this. Each time someone shows up consistently, each time they follow through, each time they respond with care, record it. Over time, that log becomes a body of evidence that your anxious mind cannot easily dismiss. Part 5. The Grounded Shift. Building the internal stability that makes external fluctuations less threatening and withdrawal less necessary. Chapter 10. Cultivating internal significance. A sense of self-worth that is entirely dependent on external approval is inherently unstable. When our significance is sourced from the outside, from how others respond to us, how warmly they greet us, how quickly they reply, we are at the mercy of every fluctuation in their behavior. And people fluctuate, not because they do not care, but because they are human. Internal significance is grounded in our core identity and value, independent of constant validation from others. As we cultivate this inner sense of stability, the small, inevitable fluctuations in our relationships begin to feel less threatening. They become information rather than verdicts. Chapter 11. The Freedom of Tolerating Uncertainty. Every relationship contains a degree of uncertainty. The monitoring habit is a futile attempt to eliminate this uncertainty. But uncertainty cannot be eliminated, can only be managed. And the most effective way to manage it is not through tighter control, but through deeper trust. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. True stability often grows not from tightening our grip, but from releasing our need for absolute control and learning to rest in a trust that is greater than our circumstances. Chapter 12. Becoming the Steady One. Emotional maturity manifests as steadiness. A steady person is patient, clear, self-controlled, kind. They do not assume the worst. They ask, they verify, and they choose clarity instead of withdrawal. Consider the fruit of the Spirit as a relational framework. Love, choosing the well-being of the other above the comfort of withdrawal. Joy, finding stability in identity rather than in relational performance. Peace, remaining calm in the face of ambiguity and uncertainty. Patience, allowing space for clarity to emerge rather than forcing conclusions. Kindness, responding with gentleness even when the mind is generating fear. Self-control, pausing before reacting. Choosing response over reaction. These are not passive qualities. They are disciplines, practiced, developed, and chosen one interaction at a time. Final summary: the journey forward. The cycle of withdrawal is both simple and destructive. Event, interpretation, core belief, withdrawal, distance. But the disciplined alternative is equally simple and profoundly life-giving. Pause. Separate fact from interpretation. Recognize old beliefs. Seek clarification. Respond with steadiness. The goal of this guide was never perfection. It was progress. The slow, deliberate work of becoming a steadier version of yourself. Each time you pause before reacting, each time you separate a fact from an interpretation, each time you choose to ask instead of assume, you are building something. You are building the kind of relational character that produces not just healthier relationships, but a healthier, more grounded version of yourself. Grounded trust is not the absence of doubt. It is the decision to seek clarity before surrendering to fear. It is the quiet, courageous act of choosing connection over self-protection. One conversation, one pause, one honest question at a time. You were not built for withdrawal. You were built for connection. This has been Before You Withdraw, a mashup frequency production.